This season, the Tottenham Way is sponsored by Harry's, and Harry's are the US shaving company hoping to make a big impact in the UK. And if you go to harrys.com/Tottenham, you can get your trial set for £3.95. That is usually worth £11.95. For that £3.95, you will get some shaving foam, a razor with 5 blades, a travel cover, and a handle in a colour of your choice. My handle is orange, Dan. What colour is yours?
That's quite racy. Mine's grey.
Grey. That's a bit bleak, but there is another third colour available. We don't know what that is, but do check it out. Go to harrys.com/Tottenham, get your trial set for £3.95. Dan and I have both got it and we both love it because it gives you the choice of when you would like to receive your blades. Thanks very much for listening and enjoy the pod. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
For the weekend. Older and wiser.
Both, yes.
Big 3-0.
Don't publicise that.
Sorry. Does anyone not know? Are you like, who's an ageless celebrity? One that you never know how old they are. I was going to say Prince, but I think that's wrong.
He's now dead.
And his name was the one that you weren't ever sure of.
There's Ellen DeGeneres is like 60. No, she's 50.
Still.
Yeah, but she looks about... I'd put her in her, like, late 30s.
Yeah. How old do you think she looks? Yeah, I'd say late 30s. Yeah, that's amazing.
I think she's 50, yeah. I saw the Ellen show, which I don't watch, by the way, but I'm familiar with who she is.
It's mental. That if you watch
the show...
No, it's chaos. Like, it's loud, screeching... I mean,
It doesn't sound like I should be watching
it. No, but it's, if you have a day off work or you work from home and you just kind of keep... Comedy Central or like one of the higher channels on Sky and it just sort of like rolls in the background, but you always know when it comes on because you just hear this ridiculously frantic cheering at everything that happens. She just does anything, she smiles or just blinks
right.
And the crowd goes,
she gets a lot of kind
insane.
Of YouTube sensations on, doesn't she, like kids who have done a dance and
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. Sounds like, is that how your 30th party went down? Lots of sort of viral dancing and ageless people screeching?
Sadly not really.
That's a shame.
It's just beers in the pub.
Oh, bit tragic. that was Saturday, is that right?
It was Saturday, yeah.
So did you, I presume you didn't end up going to Swansea?
No.
Did you end up watching it?
But I would like to stress, in case my office is listening... But I did not skip on the Swansea game to go to the pub. That was later.
It was very early kick-off.
Yeah, it was.
It?
Yes, I had lunch with my parents, which was very nice, and then went to the pub. But yes, I managed to watch most of the Swansea game before leaving.
Do you want to do the Swansea game first, or do you want to do the reaction to the draw?
I would say the draw reaction.
All right, let's do the semi-draw. So. Who's the presenter on BT? Who the lady who got it completely wrong?
Lindsay Hipgrave.
And started a whole wave of conspiracy theories that the draw.
Oh, about the home and away teams. Is that right?
No, she got the entire draw wrong. After the game, after the draw, she said, "So there it is: Chelsea versus Manchester United and Tottenham versus Southampton." And then just
I did not see that. At
all. It's this. Go on, there's a video of it somewhere.
What I did see is she said. The team drawn first will be the home team, which doesn't exist in the FA Cup semi-finals. So there's just it's a neutral ground, and there's just east and west allocations. And so if you are the east team, you get a certain dressing room, and your fans get a certain side of the stadium. If you're the west team, you get the other dressing room and the other side of the stadium. But because there's this controversy about Spurs possibly being the home team, and that's probably what Mourinho is going to say. It kind of confused everyone because I think United came out before Spurs.
Yes.
And then Lindsay Hipgrave said they were at home.
Yeah.
And it was all a... It sounds like she didn't do a great job.
It's far too confusing for what it actually is as well.
Mm.
I feel like we're at the third wave of takes with this. So it's like take one was Spurs should be better prepared because they played all season at Wembley. Take two, or hot take two, has been it's not fair because we've had this extra time there and United haven't annoyed.
And I feel like we're at day three of that a little bit. And day three is the, well, wouldn't it be awful if we still had this technically home advantage and lost, because that would put added pressure on us. So I feel like there's a few more cycles to go on this one.
Undoubtedly. I mean, as soon as Mourinho gets in front of the mic.
Yeah, he's the big thing, isn't he? So how do you feel about it? Do you think it's a genuine advantage at all?
Yeah. I like to think it is a small advantage. I mean, yeah, having played there all season, Spurs are going to be familiar with the pitch, with the surroundings, and that is... Okay, that is part of home advantage.
You say all season, but I think somebody put a stat out the other day, that I think we've actually played 16 games there this season. So you say that we've played there all season, but it's entirely different to think of it in the other way of we've actually only played probably the same amount of games that United have played there since the thing opened, since 2006 or whatever it was. All right, a bit more condensed, and you've been a bit more familiar, but I don't know. I feel there's maybe more being put on it than there actually is. I think I'm in the second phase. I think it's now a disadvantage for us because it's such much of an advantage.
There's too much expectation.
Yeah, has any phrase ever sort of gone against Spurs so much in history than on paper? On paper, yes, it's an advantage, but Spurs have never done anything on paper.
I suppose, but I wouldn't go the other way and say it's a disadvantage.
I think I'm there.
Okay.
I'm right there.
Well, I don't think Spurs have made their minds up yet, because I think Dyer and Vertonghen have kind of disagreed on it.
Yeah, what they said, I saw about this, but I didn't see what they actually said.
Nothing earth-shattering. I think Dyer said it's not going to be an advantage. There'll be half and half fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of game. It's FA Cup. And Vertonghen said, oh yeah, we've definitely been an advantage. We feel at home at Wembley. We're very comfortable playing there. So I don't think the players have quite decided.
It makes me nervous. Shut up. Yeah. Things like this.
I think I just agree with Pochettino and all those others who have said, you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And... say that Spurs were cursed at Wembley, and then say Spurs have got an unfair advantage at Wembley.
Yeah, and every club, I understand, was asked before the season started if they had any objections to another Premier League team playing at Wembley Stadium, and it was unanimous no. Nobody had a single issue.
I don't think it's not Chelsea, is it? Because they're going to have the same issue potentially
for 4 years.
For the next few years. So when that story came out, I think it was Matt Hughes in the Times and said certain potential opponents. It was obvious. It was a United briefing. It was going to be them with the issue. So it was kind of inevitable that Spurs got them.
Mm. The game itself, if you could pick a draw, would you have picked Southampton? Because again, I'm on the sort of second wave of double guessing Spurs. I think Chelsea is too steeped in narrative, and Southampton was too, and I'm using air quotes here, easy. I think we've hit a middle ground, a little bit of a middle ground here, and I think that we need a bit of... Spurs almost need a little bit of... fear to play really, really well. You look at our best performances this season, at home to Liverpool, at home to United themselves, at home to Real Madrid, Dortmund. We kind of had that bit of, well, these guys could do us if we're not careful. So we need to be on our guard a little bit. But we're also not got Chelsea. And Chelsea'd love to absolutely ruin us. So I'm quite happy with the draw. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, something I tweeted last night that some people understood, I think, and other people thought was absolute nonsense, was me saying I really back Spurs to beat United, but I really back Mourinho to beat Pochettino in an FA Cup semi-final. And that's kind of how I feel about it.
Mm.
I know that makes absolutely no sense.
No, I know what you mean.
I think Spurs are a better football team than United on most given days in the league. They proved that at Wembley. Quite a comfortable 2-0 win in the end, and a really great performance, one of the best of the season, as you said. But given that occasion, given Mourinho's history of knowing how to win the big games, of winning trophies, of wanting to win trophies, given the position he's in at United, I do feel like it'll be such a difficult test for Spurs, and particularly given Pochettino's attitude toward the Cups, or at least the attitude he's presenting toward the FA Cup. I do think it's a really tough draw, and I would have much, much preferred Spurs to get Southampton. But then again, I think we're going to have to talk about Pochettino's comments again, because he spent the whole pre-match Swansea press conference saying the same thing. By the looks of Monday's papers, he said the same thing afterwards as well, which is that winning the FA Cup isn't going to help Spurs develop a winning mentality, and it's not going to change anything at the club. But then I do kind of feel like, okay, that's what he thinks, and he's given an example from his own career, which is that the Copa del Rey win at Espanyol, when they beat Atletico and Real Madrid to win it in the semi-final and final. He said that changed nothing. But don't you think that if Spurs beat United and then presumably Chelsea to get over the line and get a first piece of silverware, that would be a big thing? Whenever Pochettino explains his view on it, I find myself a little bit more convinced. But I'm so flip-flopping that now I just feel like, given the draw, I just can't see how that wouldn't be really beneficial to win those two games. I can't see how it wouldn't change the mentality. I really don't.
I agree. To play devil's avocado, to the last cup we won, we beat Arsenal over two legs and Chelsea in a cup final. So similar circumstances in a way, that, you know, two big teams, and Arsenal were at the time a better team than a huge team for us, and an obstacle to overcome. We hadn't beaten them in however long.
Agreed, but the circumstances were so different. The win under Ramos wasn't the culmination of 3.5 years, or what would it be?
Yeah,
4 years of...
Yeah, 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
Four and a half years. No,
how long
is Pochettino? Pochettino took over in 2014.
This is fourth season.
So it's 3.5 years.
Yeah, it'll
be four at the end.
Yeah, so it wouldn't
season.
Be the culmination of kind of 4 years of hard work.
That really concise point that we got there, isn't it? Yeah.
And
yes,
I agree.
It
wouldn't be this kind of signpost, staging post to bigger things. Mm. It certainly wasn't. It was a staging post to 2 points from 8 games. But... Yeah, I feel like over and over again, people are saying to Pochettino, you just need to win one trophy, and that'll teach your players how to be winners. And either he's very cleverly taking the pressure off them by pretending he doesn't give a damn about the FA Cup, or he genuinely believes that it will change nothing, and the only way to change the DNA of a club is to challenge for the Premier League title or Champions League.
Or rather
win the Premier League title, and Champions League.
Have any players echoed Poch in this? Has there been a single player that's come out and said even something remotely like it?
That's a very good question.
Because I find that very interesting.
Not really, no. And I think one of the problems, I suppose, that Poch has is that if Spurs do win the FA Cup, imagine they beat United and Chelsea and win it, I think it would be the easiest interview in the world to get someone like Kane or Eric Dier or one of the more opinionated players to say, oh yeah, this is the start of something, you know, we've learned how to win, and just to contradict everything that Poch has been saying every single week before an FA Cup game. So to answer your question, no, not really. The players haven't really been echoing that, but then I almost feel like it's not really for their place to say, I suppose.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I know what you mean when you say that, but I think that I'm surprised that
I think it would be difficult for a player to come out and say, I'm not a winner at the moment, but if I win the FA Cup, my mentality will change and I'll be...
I think it's more so the, you know, I guess they toe the line a lot.
I think
more
Pochettino can talk about the squad and the collective.
Yeah.
In a much more forthright way than they can talk about themselves.
Yeah,
that's
just
the way it is.
To bring it back to Mourinho, I've got a horrible feeling that you are right. I think Mourinho by then could be fighting to, if not save his job, because it isn't going well for them at the moment, but he could be there just to kind of put that land the final punch on United as he's on his way out the door, to be like, fuck you, I've won you an FA Cup. And even as you've said, it's gone terribly, and I've still won you, what, three trophies in two seasons?
Or well, if they win the FA Cup, I think he'd say four, wouldn't he? Because he counts,
okay.
He counts the Charity Shield.
And why not? Mm. And he won the Carabao Cup or whatever it is last season as well, and I think, yeah.
Yeah, so, and the Europa League. And then yeah. did the three trophies sign, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. So I think we're coming up against a very experienced beast in this sort of art of shithousery. But you're right, yeah, we do have to sort of come past that, don't we? Xander 1982 on Twitter: Spurs have not beaten an actual contender in the cup, i.e. another team that could realistically win it, since, being generous, 1999 against Leeds. I do not remember that at all. But how confident are you that we'll break that running in the semi against United? I'm not really interested. We've spoken about how confident we are against United and stuff, but I couldn't actually believe that it was 1999 the last time we beat a genuine sort of contender, if you like, in the FA Cup. But then I was actually thinking about it, and I thought, well, we've reached the semi-final. Since 99, we've reached the semi-finals twice under Redknapp. I don't think we've done it other than that.
Last season.
But we've lost all of those. And one of them was to Portugal.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. But I don't know whether that's true, because I haven't crunched the numbers.
I couldn't think of anyone. If you're listening and you can, keep it to yourself. Swansea Agreed. Away. Swansea was probably the easiest game I've seen since our game against Millwall at the same stage last season. It seemed like they were not interested in engaging us whatsoever. So a nice, easy 3-0 win. Let's start with Mikael Vorm, because I think there's an interesting point that can segue on from the semi-final talk. Vorm last season for the semi-final was he ill or injured?
He was injured.
Injured. We joked about it at the time. Almost
we did, exactly, yeah. But then he missed the next game, which made me think that he was actually injured. But yeah, last season, yeah. Poch had gone on record very early
for this. Poch. He dropped Vorm for the final of the League Cup in his first season.
Is that right?
Yeah, he played it in the semi, and then Loris played in the final against Chelsea. So he has got form for this.
Last season, if I remember rightly, Poch was really caught unawares like 3 weeks before the semi-final, or maybe even longer, by a question in a press conference: are you going to play Vorm off camera? And he wasn't really expecting it, and he committed to yes, which felt like a decent-ish news story at the time in a quiet press conference. So he was on record saying that, and everyone had written that, and then, yeah, as you said, mysteriously just before the semi-final, Vorm got injured. But then he did miss the next game, or maybe even the next couple of games.
Quite easy to do that.
But I mean, we're kind of in the realms of conspiracy theories here, aren't we?
Yeah, but one of those
Poch saying, do you mind
evil
pretending to be injured and not being in the squad for the next few weeks?
I think it's hard
to imagine that actually happening.
I think we had a chat about that. Actually, yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you, but I do think that Vorm's done his job. If you get us to the point where Poch is going to start taking the cup seriously, and we can't deny last season against Chelsea, okay, Loris came in, but I think that we played not under strength, but we hadn't gone full pelt in any of the games in the FA Cup last season.
I think the semi-final was a strong team, but Walker, that was the beginning of the end for Walker, wasn't
it?
He was on
Davis
the bench.
Davis and Rose were both out.
Davis and Rose were both out, and Son played left back.
Yeah. Yes.
And make of that what you will.
Yeah.
Which I still don't necessarily think was Poch weakening the team. I think
he thought
Son. Yeah. Had the qualities, yeah, he put the 11 out,
yeah,
best
yeah.
11, and he thought, probably misguidedly, that Son had the requisite qualities to be the wing-back role.
I think Poch is well within his rights to say, all right, Vorm has been a consummate professional for what he's getting on for 3.5
yeah,
or 4.5.
And he loves,
and
don't forget, Vorm's
like
been the kind of cup captain this year, isn't he? He really loves Vorm.
Yeah, absolutely. He knew his role. And his role is backup keeper in games where you can get away with having a backup keeper. Some days it hasn't worked out. The Arsenal League Cup loss a few seasons ago is a day when that doesn't work out. But otherwise, it's been a reasonably successful it's not even an experiment, just a system, rather. That's what we've had.
Yeah.
I think he's well within his rights, in the same way as he's within his rights to say to Foyth, look, mate, you've been absolutely wonderful. Like, you've really shown yourself to be a part of the squad. I want you here next season because of the performances you put in. Am I putting you up against Lukaku? No, I'm fucking not.
I mean, he didn't put him up against whoever Swansea have up front.
Tammy Abraham.
Who I quite like.
Yeah, he's already done it. Well, yeah, but that's a staged approach, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's not just semi-final, where's your cut-off? Where's your cut-off?
You're quite right. I still think with Vorm, it's a different situation, purely because he's not the only manager that has a cup keeper. And he is such a big fan of Vorm. So I think, you know, Wenger played, did he play Ospina in the cup final last year?
Yeah, or at least one of them. One of the
and
three.
And he's sticking with Ospina in the Europa League. I mean, it's questionable whether Cech's actually better than Ospina, but you know what I mean? He's very much got a cup keeper and a league keeper, so I don't think it's an unusual thing. And whether that's right or wrong, I could see Vorm playing in the semi. What was your take on that double save? I didn't have an issue with it. He got quite panned on Twitter for it being a bad first save, but it was alright. I mean, pushed it away.
You're supposed to push it wide and out of play, aren't you?
Mm.
No one expected Olsen to be having a pop from there, I don't think. His first time, it came across his body and he was about 35 yards out. I wasn't expecting it. I think he just knocked it. And look, if you make what you might call a mistake, you get up and you rectify it, and that's exactly what he did. If you watch training of goalkeepers at Spurs or anywhere, they do that thing, don't they, where they boot it at you and then you've got to get up on your feet and save the second one.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he did. I've got no problem with it whatsoever. I mean,
agreed.
If anything, I could have done with Swansea scoring, so I would have got 40 quid because I had a bet.
What did you have on?
Both teams to score over 2.5 goals, Ericsson to score one of them, something like that.
Ah.
Yeah.
So actually,
could have really done with it. It was a terrible save because it didn't put it in the back of the net, let's say. I have no problem with it whatsoever. I do have a problem with him playing in the semi-final, though. Let's move on. El Pelo del Fuego. Have I said that right? At Michael Rees-Jones. Are we a better football team going forward without Kane? In brackets, not a better team. Just going forward, as players will interchange without the fear of taking the top spot from the king. Fair question. I think it's...
Do you think it's a fair question?
Well, I think it's a fair question in... Do you feel like our movement is better without Kane? Now, Kane is an incredible all-round footballer. Probably the best all-round footballer Spurs have had in the Premier League era, I'd say. He can do everything, and this season he's shown that more than anyone. But in terms of... He has a single position, and he stays very central, and it's the job of everyone else to buzz around him.
I'm not even sure he does.
Do you think?
The amount of times I see Kane kind of running the channels, stretching the defence, popping up in that right wing spot.
Okay.
Think of the cross for Son against Huddersfield. Think of the Real Madrid game, for some reason, just pumps into my head, where he was constantly out there kind of...
Well, he did almost the same cross for Eriksen for the third goal as he did for Son.
Yeah, and I remember in the first half he was constantly kind of up against Marcelo and making that a real battle. I saw a couple of takes on Twitter earlier. I think Daniel Story, who's of Football 365, he's very, very good, said, am I the only one who thinks maybe England will be better with Vardy up front than Kane? And I kind of get it. Like, I do get the thinking, but I just can't really get on board with any argument that says any team will be better off in any way, you know, whether that's in a footballing way or a non-football just full stop without Harry Kane in. Harry Kane improves any team on this planet.
I mean, England and not playing
England
Harry
including
Kane
Tottenham
improves Tottenham.
Undoubtedly,
so
yeah.
So I'm more than happy for this experiment to be taken forward. Also, England are terrible as a football team. We are a very poor
I think as
a,
yeah, exactly. And
Harry Kane doesn't fit into that, I don't think. So I can sort of get that take with
I
Vardy.
See, he's too good for England, is what you're saying.
I think the team isn't good enough around him.
Oh, okay.
So, in a different way.
Even if there's a case, like a weird case, that Vardy is a lone striker, buzzing around, stretching defences, you know, using that acceleration is the way to go. Then Harry Kane walks into England's midfield.
Yeah.
He walks in the, left back. You know, like he walks in somewhere else.
Okay, so In terms of Spurs,
Spurs are better with Harry Kane, I promise you. I get what Michael Rees-Jones is going for, and what you're going for is the kind of fluidity and
who to mark,
interchangeability, if that is indeed a word.
Yeah, you've just done an Ian Holloway there, I think. No, an Ian Dowie.
I reckon it's a word, interchangeability.
Interchangeability.
We'll Google it afterwards. I reckon I see where you're going with that, but I still think Kane is extremely dynamic and capable of popping up anywhere around the front line, and as we've seen on countless occasions, dropping back, holding the ball up, switching play, coming deep, etc, etc, etc. So no for me.
To clarify,
it's a firm no.
I agree. I'm not looking to drop Kane at any point.
Of course, I don't think anyone's saying that, but there a few people are saying, aren't they, that
I think there's a lot of people trying to convince themselves that we'll be okay for the next month, considering Chelsea's on the horizon. And I am including myself in that.
That's
as well.
Entirely fair. But I don't think there's anything too much to worry about. Like, Son is really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that interchange around him is good. I think I mentioned it last week. Well, yeah, I mentioned it last week in the Bournemouth review that we did. Bournemouth had been planning all week to play with Harry Kane. To play against Harry Kane. Then that changes half an hour into a game that they had up to then been controlling, and our movement did affect things. We then played Swansea with a similar front four, really interchangeable, like nobody quite knew who to stop. They were a low block and a back five, but they put up absolutely no fight whatsoever. They rolled over. So I'm happy enough with the idea of this working, and I do think in theory it's a good thing, but I think that the Chelsea game is what everyone's looking to for the next few weeks. Chelsea are one of the most drilled teams in the league, and okay, they've done pretty poorly this season, but Conte drills teams to learn how to deal with players and systems, and I think that ours isn't quite good enough to get over that. So it will be interesting to see how that front four, with all their movement and stuff, gets round a slow but very wily defence. Bit Juventus in that sense, I think. But we'll see.
Interesting.
It is interesting. Eriksen had another good game against Swansea. He kind of ran the show. His goal, I thought, his first goal was almost identical to the one that Gina scored in the 4-4 at Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, great shout.
Nobody pressed him, and then you just saw it go in from the second he, you know, left his boot and all that nonsense. But he was fantastic.
What an assist
again
as well.
He is starting to hit his big daddy Eriksen form, isn't he? And he did.
You weren't biting on my assist comment.
I said
what an assist as well. It was a 4-yard pass from Lamella.
Oh, sorry.
A bit of a joke there, Tom.
Did Eriksen make an assist? That's what I thought. That
banter
were.
Joke.
It landed.
Yes, I'm glad it did. Did he make an assist? The other guy would have been. Was Lamella's? I don't think Eriksen did assist that.
Who? And that was a hell of a goal as well, actually, Lamella's.
Let's do Eriksen. I was doing banter and it didn't bloody work, did it? he is starting to.
He clicks in February.
To click.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think back over his kind of recent form, because I do feel like he's been on it. Yeah, he started slowly, but I do feel like he's been on it since more or less November.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a couple of quietish games.
But getting up, that's all. Step up a level, because he plays all of our games as well. That's the thing.
He doesn't
tend to miss these FA Cup games, even when we've gone, again, air quotes, weaker.
Yeah.
He does tend to be the player out of those sort of front four that will play the minutes. And considering he runs harder and further than anyone else in the squad, as we're so frequently told, he's quite remarkable. And I just think that he just builds up a head of steam.
Yeah, and he doesn't tend to get injured as well, and I'm touching wood, don't worry.
Yeah.
But he's got a very impressive fitness record. I think he's had one muscle injury in about 3 years.
Why did he miss Southampton?
I think he was ill.
Oh, everyone was ill, weren't they?
Yeah. Spurs squad are very poorly, actually.
They are, yeah.
No one more so than Hugo Lloris. He seems to have about 3 sick days on inconvenient dates per season.
Take your vitamins, Hugo.
Yeah, I sort of don't know what to say about Eriksen that hasn't already been said. But
all right, talk about Lamella then.
He's obviously so important.
I think that Lamella coming back into the squad, I was very sceptical. I have said on a few times that I don't think he has a place in the squad. Then he turns in performances like against Juventus, turns in performances against Swansea as he's done, came on against Bournemouth and did well as well.
I
think it's fair to say that he's shutting me up, at least. He's not going to shut up a lot of people because people have made up their minds.
I don't think he ever will. I think as a general point, it's really encouraging that since Kane got injured, Ali, Son, Lamella and Eriksen have all scored.
Which
has only been 2.75 games. And if there's one thing Spurs need at Chelsea and need as long as Kane's injured, it's the 3 players behind to score the goals. Because I think in that run in September 2016, the first ankle injury of last season, was the spell without Kane where Spurs couldn't score for love nor money, and it was something like 3 penalty goals in 11 games and 2 from open play or something horrendous. So it's really encouraging from that point of view that those 3 or 4 players, and I think with the exception of Son, those 3 haven't scored as many as they could. Obviously Ali got 18 last year, but he's got fewer than 10 I think this year. Lamella needs to score more as a wing forward. He definitely should score more goals. That was only about his, I don't know, 10th or 11th goal for Tottenham, I imagine.
Yeah, I'd just say so. I can't imagine it being many.
Yeah, and Eriksen had a good scoring season the season before last, where he hit double figures, and I think last year he was...
Did the same last season. He did better last
in
season.
In the league?
I think he did pretty well, yeah.
But I still think that they could, all 3 of them could score more, so that's encouraging. On Lamella specifically... Yeah, I mean, you know I'm a fan of his, and it's like I'm never quite sure whether I'm serious in my fandom or whether it's slightly ironic.
You did put him down for Player of the Season for your ESPN preview last year.
Yeah, I did, and I feel like that was slightly tongue-in-cheek.
Do you feel?
Maybe I should have taken it a bit more seriously. Sorry, employers.
Yeah.
But I think he's got a part to play in the squad. I think he does a job that no one else really does in that front four, which is add a bit of shithousery, add a bit of intensity. I think he's a cuter player on the ball than people give him credit for. He can beat a man with that kind of roll over dribble move he does. He can pick a pass, he can pick a lock. And he needs to add more goals to his game, and he needs to be a bit more decisive in the final third. I think one thing that Son has really improved on in the last few weeks, in the last few months, is decisiveness. He will finish more chances now when he's got time. He will play a better final ball. And it feels like Lamella hasn't really taken great strides at Tottenham in those areas. He's always... He's developed the side of his game more off the ball, I think, than he has on it.
I think you're right in terms of he does add something different, because if you look at the players that play behind Kane, we've got Ali, Eriksen and Son as being like first choice, if you like. Moura, who's come in as well, who's technical and quick and supposed to be that guy that, I think you've used it a few times, like break the line, that sort of thing. And then you've got Lamella. And out of those 5, Lamella's 5th choice, you'd say. I would say. But he's the only one of those 5.
I think at the moment
that does what Lamella does. You know? So there's value in him, but there's also wondering, you have to be so careful about the minutes that he does play. Away to Juventus, perfect. The exact scenario you want him for. How many away to Juventus games are we gonna have, you know, in a season? Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe
if he's good
enough for 5 games a season, and they're away to Chelsea, away to Arsenal and away to big European games, is that value? Is that somebody who's really adding something to the squad? Is he a clutch player in that, in a weird way, perverse way?
Yeah, I mean, I think when there was still a question mark over the final spot in the front four, so when it was Kane, Eriksen, Ali and one more,
mm.
then Lamella was in quite a good position. But I think Son, as we've said a few times, just almost made that spot his own. And weirdly, Pochettino still doesn't quite seem to be seeing it that way. But if Son keeps doing what he's doing and scoring the amount of goals he's scoring, then he is going to be very, very difficult to drop. And then I think Lucas is a really good footballer. And as soon as he learns the kind of Pochettino way and he learns the off-the-ball stuff and tracking back, it is going to be hard for Lamella to get in the team for enough games to keep him happy and enough big games as well. So, yeah, I think he will end up as a fifth. I still think he's ahead of Moura just on account of newness.
Mm.
But I think he just needs to do more of what he did on Saturday. I mean, how often do you see him actually having a shot with his right foot from the edge of the box?
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time he tried that. And yeah, fair enough, Swansea did not close anyone.
I mean, he literally scored a Rabona, so he didn't have to use his right foot.
Exactly, yeah. Swansea didn't close anyone down, but I can't really think of many times that Lamella's had a go, even if it was a block shot. So I think hopefully that'll give him a bit of confidence. I do really like Lamella. I'm not quite sure why I really like Lamella, but I'd like to see him keep doing what he's doing. And Pochettino said, I think last week, that they're still being careful with him. He's still not at his best. So, you know, hopefully in the run-in, there are some big games. You know, obviously City, Chelsea, the United semi-final, and I do think he's a man for the big occasion. I suppose he's a man for the battle.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he's got a big part to play.
I mean, if he scores a winner in the cup final, say, his 5 years here are completely forgotten, aren't they? It would not matter.
It's almost true. If Sissoko scores a winner in the cup final, his 2 years completely forgotten. So,
Who was decent on Saturday, to be fair, to Sissoko. In a two.
He was decent. He's always all right in a two, isn't he?
I think as long as he's got a defensive player alongside him, when he's played with Dembele or Winks, he's not okay. No.
There was a great clip doing the rounds, a GIF on Twitter of Sissoko doing a really unnecessary clumsy step over. He's like, he picks up the ball and there's no Swansea player near him and he's in the centre circle and he does the most laboriously slow step over with his right foot. And then just does a 5-yard pass. And everyone was and I've just been on the internet just before you came and there's some Firmino quotes. I've deleted them now. I've closed the window. There's some Firmino quotes saying, "We've got some great players in the Premier League. Harry Kane, Salah, Kevin De Bruyne and Sissoko."
What?
I just saw the headline.
Right.
And I was like, what's going on here? And then as I was about to click, the doorbell rang and you came upstairs.
That's a shame.
So there you go.
I'm not totally convinced you haven't dreamt this, but
if you're listening and you've read those Firmino quotes, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear from you.
Just some of that Sissoko, like that's fine bit touch that he does. Now, because I'm such an everyman, I can talk to da kids as part of my remit as host on this show. But you know when you're playing FIFA and you're doing the be a pro, and then there's no one around you and you do ridiculous skill moves just to get your points average up like 3 or 4 points.
Maybe that's what
Sissoko's doing.
I don't play FIFA, but I can officially tell you.
The Liverpool ace named the Tottenham man when talking about the best players in the league.
Here's Roberto Firmino. "With great players in English football, it's hard to select one as the outright best. That's why it's the most popular league with many quality teams. We can talk about the goal scorers, Salah and Harry Kane. We also have Gabriel Jesus, Kevin De Bruyne, Ilkay Gundogan in Man City, Paul Pogba and Romelu Lukaku at Manchester United, Moussa Sissoko and Moussa Dembele at Tottenham, Willian Eden Hazard at Chelsea and Mesut Ozil at Arsenal." Okay, so he's named quite a few players.
Let me tell you what happened there.
He
has said Moussa and in his head got it wrong and said Sissoko first. Because the only club in there where he's mentioned anyone from two players from any team is at Spurs. Oh no, he's done it at Chelsea at the end as well.
Right? Oh, and Man U.
Has
Paul,
he?
Paul Pogba and Romelu Lukaku.
I'm still standing by
he's,
that.
I agree.
Sissoko accidentally.
Because he said Kane earlier on. He's meant to say Moussa Dembele. It's come out as Moussa Sissoko, and then he's gone, and Moussa Dembele.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can't then go, actually, I didn't.
Exactly.
I didn't mean Sissoko.
Exactly. So, yeah. But good.
But good for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good for Musa
Sissoko. Yeah, well done. Well done, Sissoko. Let's move on. So we've had a little bit more news about the season ticket prices. Now, the thing that has really struck me about this, and we did this last week a bit, but the thing that's really been highlighted online so far this week has been how you buy a season ticket in one seat and that's it forever.
Right.
From what I've seen, it's you can't then apply to sit somewhere else. If you've bought that season ticket, that's you until you say no, no more. I mean, and I think that you said this, I think you said it last week, I think you said it on Fight Cock when you were on the midweek episode last week. It is a missed opportunity, isn't it? And it's just getting a little bit worse every bit. Yeah, every time you dig a bit deeper.
They weren't my words, they were the Supporters Trust words. Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you want to carry on? I mean, I know this is a bit of a cop-out, and I feel like I'm copping out a bit, but it doesn't really feel like an issue for me. I think it's an issue for fans representatives and an issue for the club, and journalists, perhaps. Although Tony Evans has done a nice piece in The Standard today that I recommend reading, but I don't really have anything more to add on it. I would have a look on the Supporters Trust website if you're interested in it. There is a petition you can sign if you're interested in making it known that you're unhappy about the pricing.
Mm.
And I think there needs to be dialogue between the club and supporters, hopefully via the trust.
Yeah, it's not ugly, and I think they've done what a lot of other clubs have done. I just think that we had, again, I think you said it last week, but we've got so much goodwill behind the club. And it's similar to when we released the prices for the Champions League games last season, I think. You know, nobody wanted to move to Wembley. We all wanted to stay at White Hart Lane, and particularly why it was still standing, we all wanted to be there. For various reasons, we had to move on. Or we had to move early, the Champions League games early, and we were there. And they didn't seem to really sort of help anyone out. And again, with the season ticket prices for Wembley, there was no real acceptance that no one wants to do this. Everyone, there's a good few thousand people here that are getting their first season ticket, and that's great, and that's a good opportunity for them. But there are people that have been going for years, decades even, who had no fucking interest in going to Wembley. I've been going for 10 years with a season ticket, and I've got no interest in going to Wembley, and there was no concession for that. And I think had there been, then the ticket prices for what new White Hart Lane may have been a little bit better accepted or understood more, right, even though the gap would have been quite high. So that would have been something difficult. Maybe they were managing expectations. Maybe they thought, if we don't subsidise this year, it's going to make next season look not quite so bad. But I agree with Trust. I think they've missed an opportunity. And I think that they know that the goodwill behind the club will survive anyone saying, it's not for me anymore. I said it last week, I'm weary. I'm football weary. And I'm struggling to justify being tired of it whilst also spending quite a lot of money to still go. Like, there's nothing. Why am I still doing this to myself? why bother?
Trophy,
and I love the club, and I love what we're doing. I can't wait to see the new stadium. I'm excited for it. I don't have to do the whole day thing that I said last week. Mm. It wasn't necessarily a punch on the club. I wasn't saying it in that. It's just that's what I feel like it's going towards. I don't have to do any of that.
Yeah, it's very funny. When I did do the Fighting Cock, it's one of the first things Barley said, like, oh yeah, like, I'm looking forward to spending all evening there in the bar. And I was like, you've been drawn in. Tom predicted this.
It's just, it doesn't.
But no, fair enough, yeah, as the point he made was the pubs are a bit crap around Tottenham, which
I think. And that's where
it's difficult to agree with, but yeah,
that's where we differ. That's where new and old fans would differ. We want to go to those pubs and stuff.
Dig, I like, yeah, have more of a dig at the Fine Cock lads. Keep coming,
old lads. Can't say that now. You're in the 30s club as well, though.
Both in our 30s.
Yeah.
International break, Dan, we've got no interest in this, and that's why we're probably not going to be on podcast duty next week, but most people can expect that now. Is there anything, is there any story of note in the international break? Dyer maybe being England captain again?
Possibly, yeah.
Who gives a shit? But apart from Eric Dyer.
It's good for Eric Dyer.
It is good, yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, I haven't added anything to the running order on this topic.
No
interest. I think it's one we can leave.
Yeah, fair enough. Do a couple of listener questions before we wrap up for a fortnight. Would you rather have Luke Shaw or Danny Rose if a swap deal could be agreed? This Luke Shaw stuff's coming back round again.
At Power Surge 24.
Sorry, yeah, Power Surge 24 on Twitter. This stuff's never really going to go away. And I think the more people are accepting that Sessegnon is a possibility but not a left back.
I'm not sure Sessegnon will be a left back in time. He just feels like he's too good, but he's definitely a possibility. I think the Luke Shaw thing is kind of put, you know, two and two together journalism. Well, not necessarily journalism, but it's just people putting two and two together. And maybe making five. But I don't. What I'm trying to say is
analysis.
I'm not completely sure that Pochettino would be as desperate for to get together with Shaw as perhaps everyone thinks. But yeah, there's kind of parallels between Shaw and Rose, aren't there? You know, it seems like in both cases they had tremendous athleticism, and that was a real strength, and it was. Yeah, and it perhaps compensated for other sides of their game that were weaker, but it didn't really matter because they did just have this great physicality, and both have got injuries and sort of struggled to replicate that. Shaw over a much longer period of time, it should be said, than Rose, who still, you know, he's still only just back from his recurrence of the knee injury or second knee injury, whatever it was. So, yeah, I don't think getting Shaw in would automatically kind of be an upgrade.
I don't think it's an upgrade on Davis, like, even on Rose. I get the logic in that you said the athleticism is what we feel like we're missing from that left side. But I think if Davis has shown himself to be a more than capable left back, top four left back. You know what I mean? Like, I think we've said it a few times that we think Davis would probably get into quite a lot of teams in the top six. I'd say he walks into Arsenal, probably gets into Chelsea.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't have him over Marcus Alonso.
Well, maybe I'm thinking of like a left centre back sort of thing, in the same way as Aspilicueta.
No, I think to answer the question, I'd still probably rather Rose in purely footballing terms. I think he's the best left back in the league when he's flying and fully fit, and it's easy to forget just how terrifying him and Walker were for other teams. There was genuinely a period where other teams were less worried about playing Kane and Ali and Eriksen than they were about having to deal with these two wing backs who were just lightning quick. I don't know whether Rose will ever kind of get back to that point at Spurs, but that feels like there's the potential for that combination to be replicated with him and Aurier at some point, if Aurier can kind of stop doing foul throws and can get Pochettino.
Yeah.
Whereas I haven't really seen anything from Shaw that suggests that, unfortunately, that he's going to be the kind of same player that he was before he had that injury.
To bring it back round to your original answer to the question in making five out of 2+2, it is more than that, isn't it? We're not getting a Man United left back. We are getting a guy who isn't doing it for Mourinho in a struggling side. You know what I mean? Like, Ashley Young is being played at left back instead of this guy.
Yeah.
And Shaw's been fit for a while now and had enough time to... All right, if Mourinho's made up his mind, he's made up his mind. But you'd imagine at some point Shaw would have... The penny would have dropped for Shaw. And he would have worked a bit harder to try and get in. So... But having said that, if Rose wants to go still, if he goes into the summer, he goes, look,
I'm not actually that interested anymore. I haven't had a great season. I want to change the scenery. My mind hasn't been changed from last season. I want to go. If he did and United came in, I wouldn't do a straight swap. But if they offered Luke Shaw plus 20, 25 million, I would say yes.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I think that's a fairly reasonable way of doing
it. You kind of back Pochettino to improve any fullback.
Yeah.
Particularly one who knows how he works and is still that young.
Mm-hmm.
So
he can't be that engaged at United anymore, can he? You know, the difference between the approach.
Yeah, it feels like from reading a few articles today that the latest Mourinho attack's kind of the last straw.
Mm.
And that he was kind of grudgingly putting up with all the digs and criticism until this point where he's just been pulled off at half time and then publicly slammed afterwards for about the sixth or seventh time. It does feel like bullying.
The other benefit, of course, is that when United win the FA Cup, we'll be getting a winner in through the door. So there you go. A way to bring it back round for you there, Dan.
Yeah.
No, I'm feeling very positive about the FA Cup because I have to.
Good.
I think.
Good, Tom.
Let's wrap this up. Say we're not going to be here next week because of International Week, of which we've got no interest in anything that's going on, and we like the break, don't we? What are you going to do with your 2 weeks off, Dan?
I've got to still keep working, Tom.
Oh.
I won't be going to any Spurs games, but I'll be just doing...
Making up rumours and stories. It's like the old days of the Tottenham way a little bit, isn't it? When the blog was going...
Well, I won't make anything up, but I'll be trying to.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm glad you think so highly of me and my profession.
No, now I do. Back then,
I thought
very, very little of you. So I started the podcast to try and just raise your profile a little bit. Nice one, Dan. Nice to see you, mate. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye.